There are 3 million souls in the collective unconscious of the City of Light. For Gary K. Mankiewicz, spiritual detective, this is the story of another.
You are the radiance within and above the body, and as such you are both released in the crystal crown above the head, beyond the brain, beyond all knowledge and self-consciousness. To realize you both is to transcend the body-mind in ecstasy.
My kundalini was fundamentally low. Since I'd lost the Anderson case, business had soured. Sometimes you can't save the daughters of the rich from the clutches of the sect of their choice. Marie Anderson had found bliss in the Lionel Brand Church of Inner Satisfaction and hadn't wanted to come out. Not even a new car from Daddy in a flat by the bay had changed her mind. Lionel Brand was enjoying the car in the flat right now. The last time I'd seen him, he'd told me that they gave him Inner Satisfaction. I didn't argue. Word gets around when a spiritual detective fails. My competition was getting all the business. I decided to ring them up and see if there was any overflow work. My kundalini needed it.
Gary, mate, what are you ringing me for? Nah, don't tell me, Gary. I'll tell you. So, like a mind reader. You want a job? Because no one likes Gary Mankiewicz since he lost the Anderson case. Here, come around here. I'll show you a file. The Mandy Martin case.
The Mandy Martin case had been all over the gutter press for months. She'd become like Elvis, cited everywhere but never pinned down. She was in India with the backwash. She was on a 2-year fast in the tropical forests, playing tambourine in a salvo band, rolling on the floor at an independent redemptionist church. She was everywhere but where she should be, on the set of Next Door, the big money-making soap that topped the ratings everywhere from Tanganyika to Italy. Wallace's office was in town, the big end of town. He'd graduated from a pulp novel dump in the red light district to the 25th floor of a tower of capitalism by the usual route. Shameless self-promotion. If a reptile from the media wanted a quote about the PI business, they went to Wallace. If they needed a piece for the weekend glossies, he'd always oblige. He never told the press how long it had been since he'd really walked the mean streets.
Take a seat, Gary. Make yourself at home. Drink in the view, you little cosmic bastard. Speaking of drinking, how about a gargle?
No thanks, Wallace. It spins my yang out. Too aggressive in our line of work.
Don't mind me, then. I've always said, Gary, that a good private dick should always have enough drinks by noon to fail a breathalyzer test in Russia.
Russia?
Yeah, Russia. I worked there during the Cold War, you know. Smiley's people and all that. I reckon you're sober if there's no sick in your car. Now, where were we?
Russia. John Le Carre.
Nah, Mandy Martin. God, this is the case for you, Mankiewicz. She's really gone missing. Take a look.
Hasn't changed her license or her rego. No rental bonds lodged, no forwarding addresses. What's this?
A postcard she sent to Max Marple a month ago.
Her agent?
Yeah, seems like a hot lead, I reckon. Forward all the royalties to the Shuyanta Ashram, postmark Bombay.
Rap, Wallace. That says Bombala.
Bombala, then. It's still in India.
Bombala's a cold little sheep town. And this handwriting makes Mandy 55 years old. It's pre-modified cursive.
Righto, Mr. Know-it-all. Look, a couple of more pages. Yeah, yeah, look at that snap someone sent in the Next Door. Mandy in Kashmir.
Wallace, this is the Sikh temple up on the north coast.
Well, I told you she was well and truly missing. The producers of Next Door still want her back. They're still interested in shelling out to find her. You're out of work. As Smiley is to say to me on Nevsky Prospect, take it or leave it.
I took it. Wallace wrote me a cheque for a week's work and told me a lie about some mighty success fee that was on offer. I glanced back as I left his office and saw him picking up a blockbuster secret agent novel. The sad thing was that I knew for a fact that Wallace had never been out of the City of Light in his life. There was nothing in the Mandy Martin file to indicate anything about her whereabouts. It certainly wasn't much of a spiritual case. Police missing persons seemed more like it. I went to see Max Marple. Maxine Marple's talent shop was plastered with photos of Mandy Martin. She was obviously Maxine's biggest earner.
I hear pickings have been slim since Mandy Martin disappeared. Like your meal ticket back?
Cliches aside, Mr. Mankovich, yes, far away.
Wallace seems to think that Mandy's taken off to India to live in an ashram. Was she ever interested in the spiritual life?
She played a Ouija board once.
Men?
We make them up for the TV guides and the magazines.
No real affairs then? No significant others?
A couple. The last one was some script writer on Next Door, Brian Woodside.
Did he have any power over Mandy when they were together?
A bit. He was older. Played up the early 70s, seen a lot to the young ones. But he hadn't done any of what he said he had.
How do you know?
Because I was there, Mankovich. Anti-war protests, rock festivals, sexual liberation, mind-expanding drugs, yippies, hippies, glitter and glamour, the whole catastrophe. Maxine Marple did it all.
Calm down, Maxine. So, Brian Woodside had a bit of power over Mandy Martin and they broke up. What else about him?
I didn't poke around any further, really. Look, I'm interested in having Mandy back. Not just for the money. She was a good kid. Better than a lot I deal with in this game. If you want more, go out to Mandy's old place. Her flatmate still lives there. Marie Milland. She knew Brian.
Marie Milland. Another actor, I suppose.
Oh, sure. Small parts, no work for a long time. She might help a bit, but I think her memory's shot. Ecstasy.
It was a long drive out to Mandy Martin's old place. It gave me time to meditate on a couple of things. Like why all the people connected to this case had MM for their initials. If it had an O at the beginning, it would be OM. I'd keep it in mind. I chanted OM. I was hoping to manifest a clue. A tension headache began to nag at my temples. My chakras were blocked. I used my personal spiritual laxatives on them. My own private mantra. Given to me years before by my guru, Ralph Bantam, the retired footy star. It tumbled smoothly from my mouth. The names of the great South Sydney team of the early 70s. George Piggins, John Sattler, Bob McCarthy, Gary Stevens, Paul Sait, Ron Coote, Eric Sims, Bob Honan, Bob Grant, Kenneth Bidard, John Mayer, Phil Cleary. Mandy Martin's flat turned out to be a house by the beach. For a moment I was shocked. Then I came to my senses. She was rich. I was crazy to think that I'd find her living in some sort of urban yurt. That's what Wallace claimed she'd run away to find, her own metaphysical sweat lodge. The lights were on and music was playing. No one answered my knocks. I insinuated myself into the ample foyer. I paused and tried to let my intuition glean something from this place about Mandy Martin, to expand on her sense of place. An impression of cicadas droning came to me. The image of a log cabin appeared in my third eye. I was approaching a moment of meaning when everything went black. I plunged into a dark crevasse of pain. Shiva and Beelzebub howled at me. Every acupressure point of my being was pierced with meat hooks. I was travelling the left-hand path, except it was a horror-filled dead-end street. When I came round, my chakras felt like I'd bought them at a used karma yard. The first thing I saw made me forget about my chakras. I was lying on a bed. Next to me was Marie Milland. Totally naked. Totally beautiful. Totally dead. Someone had embedded a kilo worth of crystal healing into her cranium. Very ugly. Very bad karma. I backed slowly out of the bedroom, considering my options. Ring the police? Remove signs of my presence in Scarpa? Go to Wallace and tell him I was off the case? As I entered the lobby, a dread came over me. It was the metallic mental smell you get when the cops are around. I wasn't wrong. The front door swung open, and a pair of insensitive old-age guys walked in. Detectives Miller and Moon of the Homicide Squad. Their auras were huge blood-red balloons around their heads, frightening and savage. The last time I'd seen auras like that was in my football-playing days. It was the way Ralph Bantam looked before he belted his opposite number senseless. They were surprisingly gentle with me.
They broke one of my ribs, but they couldn't make a dent in my divine circuitry. By the next morning, they even seemed to believe that I hadn't murdered Marie Milland. They relaxed enough to go out and buy an assortment of pastries for breakfast.
Want a pie, Mankovich?
No thanks, Moon. I'm not into the animal hostility trip.
Yeah, well, I am. You might as well piss off now. But if you see anything in your crystal ball, let us know, right?
Right, Moon.
And Mankovich?
Yes, Moon.
If you don't tell us, I'm going to make you eat something. Your crystal ball, or maybe a steak.
For a guy with Moon for a name, he wasn't very peaceful. Maybe I was being too literal about it. Maybe it meant Moon as in exposing your bum to people. I'd done it a few times when I was young, after a session with the boys. Ralph Bantam leading us on a rampage through the city. Ralph Bantam, the hardest footballer ever seen. The man who saw the light 10 minutes into a grand final. The only bloke to ever come off a football field enlightened. My guru. My spiritual master. If only he were here with me now to help sort out this cosmic ratatouille. I was exhausted and my mind was rambling. I went home and took some of my rescue remedy. I lay down on my futon and focused my third eye. I saw a log cabin and a crystal. I heard the drone of cicadas. I sank into a bottomless astral travelling sleep. I came a heartbeat, a soul beat, nearer to finding Mandy Martin, the missing star of the soap next door, and to solving the murder of her flatmate, Marie Milland. The crystal was in the log cabin. I could see it through the cabin windows, sitting on a podium in the centre of the stage. I could hear the droning cicadas. I rounded a corner of the cabin. There were a host of cars parked behind it. Middle-class cars. Volvos, Saabs, Golfs. One stood out. A fire engine red soft-top Chevy. Number plate, for me. I'd seen it on an evening news bulletin a couple of months before. Mandy Martin had bought it when she turned 18 and broke up with her childhood sweetheart. The line to the media had been that she was doing things for herself now. She wasn't a little girl anymore. I saw a man taking a woven basket full of lotus blooms from the boot of a Range Rover. Here was my chance to find out where I was, and hence where Mandy Martin was. I glided over to him and asked. Gary, he said. And then I was slammed back to my physical body by someone screeching, Gary! I sat bolt upright on my futon. My heart palpitated. There was no one around. I'd almost been there, knowing the place where Mandy Martin was holed up. I had a little crisis about the cops, Moon and Miller. Did my astral travels constitute evidence in the minds of the police? I went to my recreation room and climbed into my pyramid. My mind needed sharpening. The man at the Range Rover had said Gary, my name for sure, but did it mean something else? Then someone had screeched Gary and brought me back to real time. Perhaps he meant I was at a place named Gary Gary. I climbed out of my pyramid and got the postcode book. There it was, Gary Gary. I went directly to my car and my maps. I didn't even consult the I Ching about the wisdom of my actions. It was something I'd regret. Gary Gary was located in the rural fringe of the city, a small village surrounded by hobby farms and various retreats. I contacted my archetype, the Joker, as I drove into the hamlet. I had a chuckle thinking about Moon and Miller. They were probably still taking casts of shoe prints out at the beach. When were the cops ever going to get in touch with the intuitive sleuth within? I allowed myself a wry grin as I pulled up in the main street of Gary Gary. It was wiped off my smug face quickly. Across the road, in an unmarked car, sat Moon and Miller. I wasn't about to find Mandy while they were sitting 10 metres away from me. I slid down in my seat and had a think. Moon and Miller were homicide squad. They'd obviously found something out about Marie Milland's murder that related to Mandy and crystals. Whatever it was, I needed to get to Mandy before them. I didn't have any disguises handy. I went back to my days with my teacher, Ralph Bantam. Ralph had taught me the shamanic practice of turning myself into an animal. As we were both ex-football players, we found it easy. I conjured up the shamanic drumbeat in my mind. Let it sink down onto my heart waves. I entered my tree of life and let my very essence course down into its roots.
I came face to face with an elderly Labrador Kelpie cross. We gazed at each other knowingly. I made the painful leap across. I waddled across the street in the evening gloom and raised my leg for a pee on Moon and Miller's car. It was a petty thing to do, hateful and bad for my karma, but it felt terrific. I crossed the pavement and slumped against the wall of a fast food shop. My dog hearing was outstanding. I focused on Moon and Miller's conversation.
Hey, Miller, give me a burger. Triple bacon. Bugger the burger. Let's move.
What else could I do? Moon and Miller were set to get to Mandy before me. Miller was still out of the car. I charged at him and leapt. I sunk my fangs into his crutch hard. He screamed in agony. I'd got his lingam and I'd drawn blood. He drew his gun and yelled, "Mad dog, mad dog." I pelted around the other side of the car as fast as my old bones would take me, and I punctured the front tire with one snap. Then I was off. Miller loosed some shots at me, but the gloom was too deep. I was off and loping up Possum Pie Road. I was winning. I found it difficult to read the lot numbers in the fading light of the day. I was also getting puffed out. I hoped that the wound I'd inflicted on Miller's lingam would require treatment. I needed time. Lot 197 was just as I'd seen in my astral travelling. A gravel drive wound up a green hill to a log cabin. I waddled quietly to the corner, and there she was, Mandy Martin. She sat on the back step, her back against a post, a thin joint between her fingers. She wore cheesecloth and velvet. She was every Aquarian boy's dream. I started to draw back around the corner when she caught a glimpse of me.
Major, where have you been? Here, boy, come on.
Of all the rotten luck, I was in her dog's body. She stood up and came to me. I couldn't run, she'd catch me in an instant. I certainly couldn't go through the shamanic process with her around. She flung her arms around me and nursed my wet snout in her cleavage. She scratched my tummy.
I've been looking everywhere for you. Naughty Major. Have you got a girlfriend?
I knew that this was all occurring on the physical plane. As such, it should have meant little to me. But when she scratched me at the base of my tail, there was nothing I could do. My tongue came out, my eyes closed, and I whined in ecstasy. I was in love.
You must be hungry if you've got a girlfriend. Come on, boy. Come and have some dinner.
Dinner? Dog food? I followed her into the cabin's woodsy but expensive kitchen. She opened the fridge door. It wasn't even canned muck. It was a salami-shaped piece of that stuff people laughingly call dog Devon.
I'll bet you're really hungry, Major. I'll give you double tonight.
It plopped into my dish and the smell made me gag. I forced myself to wag my tail and began gulping down the worst meal of my life. She left the kitchen and I immediately bolted for the bush where I regurgitated the stinking fetid mess that Mandy Martin called dog food. I resisted a powerful urge to roll around in my own effluvia and took up a watching stance. Mandy came out onto the veranda and began calling me. It went on for some time, until her voice took on an unmistakable shake. She stamped her feet on the floor and sat down for a good old-fashioned ball. Then he appeared, a thin man in a big caftan throwing around a lot of psychic weight. I focused my very essence on him.
Mandy, what's wrong?
Major's gone.
No one's ever gone, you know that. He's away visiting, seeing his canine friends down the road or travelling the path to elevation. That's why I've come to talk to you. I saw another sign.
About us?
Yes, a man down on Possum Pie Road chasing cars. It's what came to me last night. When man behaves like an animal, then the chosen will be called for divine elevation.
So it's really going to happen tonight?
Yes, Mandy. Tonight we become gods. I've instructed the disciples to set up everything at the river amphitheater. Gods, Mandy. Gods. Sri Mandy and Sri Love.
I'm so nervous, Love.
She wasn't lying about that. I could hear it in her voice. I could feel it coming out from her pores and drifting across the cool green lawns of the Crystal Light Healing Centre to me. A car appeared in the centre's drive, a Range Rover. It purred smoothly over the gravel and came to a sedate halt at the back veranda. Love stood and pulled Mandy to her feet. Out stepped the man from my astral travelling, Lotus Bloom Man.
Welcome, Gerald. You responded quickly.
For my master, everything. Bless my core.
Your core is blessed. Your crystal is on fire.
It lights my path and reflects your glory, love.
The poor guy was prostrate at love's feet. It was a good little piece of power guruing that he was acting out. As he spoke, love massaged the palm of Mandy's hand and she regained her composure. By the time Gerald was back on his feet, she had the demeanour of a goddess in the making. She gave him an otherworldly stare, and he almost fainted.
More guests, Gerald. The police, if my senses don't lie to me. Take Mandy's car to the River Amphitheatre. Mandy, attend to the first level of your cleansings. The assistants will be here for your Humbrana in half an hour.
Moon and Miller were the last people I wanted to see. They'd kill me. A bullet through the head for the mad dog. I took the path of least resistance. I ran to the far side of Mandy's car and wagged my tail for Gerald. He smiled blissfully at me and led me into Mandy's Chevy. Man, chauffeur's goddess's dog. I hoped that the City of Light's gutter sheets didn't hook onto this story.
You are happy too, Major. Glad that your master is about to emerge in his full form as a god. You're a good dog, good dog, good god dog. That's always got me, that one. Sri Master Love says that it's more than coincidence. He says that it's a direct sign of the path we all travel. He was once a little dash hound in a past life, and he knew that... He knew more than his owner. Oh, look at him.
It wasn't a pretty sight. It was me. My body with a dog's mind and soul in it. Clothed, dusty and torn, I crouched in the dirt, ready to chase Mandy's Chevy. The wild, bloodshot eyes and the lolling tongue mocked my human body. As we cruised past, I ran alongside the car, barking and howling. For a long moment, I locked onto my own eyes and saw the base aggression and remorseless violence that was surging within that body of mine. I saw the thing we all deny in ourselves. Gerald wasn't perturbed at all. The way he reacted, it just might as well have been a dog.
Another disciple learning the master's way. What a beautiful, honey-laden experience. Oh, when the dogginess stops and the pure love of Sri Love tumbles into your heart like a viscous tonic.
Gerald had it bad. Taken in completely by a guru who seemed to have based his cosmology on veterinary practice. I was glad when we came to the top of a sandstone gorge and parked. I hopped out and followed Gerald at a discreet distance. The bush air was cool and invigorating. It carried the stimulating aroma of eucalyptus, leaf mulch and fresh river water. We made our way down a long series of rough-hewn stone stairs to a large riverbank glade. Tall trees rose from the white sandy earth, and disciples worked quietly setting up feast tables and subtle lights. A natural amphitheater was down at one end of the glade. It housed a huge flower-bedecked altar, crowned by a 20-kilo lump of crystal. I sat down next to a long table covered with vegetarian canapes. Gerald spoke with a disciple who was putting the finishing touches to them.
Isn't it wrong to feed the food of the gods to a dog, Ian?
The consort's dog will be a god too, you know. Didn't you read the full announcement on becoming divine?
Well, yes.
So you would have seen it. The consort's dog will be elevated at the same time as Sri Love and Mandy. He is to become an animal deity.
I read the most important parts.
And which were they?
Arranging our severance from the material world, the collectivisation of our earthly possessions for the furtherance of crystal light healing.
Aha! A large matter for you, Gerald. What is it? A Range Rover? A beach house on the coast? The city penthouse? Your chain of pet shops? How much would that be worth?
The pet shops? $20 million. Not that it worries me.
Of course not. As you know, I gave up the material life a long time ago. When the lunar eclipse occurs, Gerald, I'll be ready to transcend myself, to be elevated as the servant of two gods, Shri Love and Shri Mandy.
I shan't be far behind, Ian. Anyway, I must be off. Got to talk to Ken. You know Ken, don't you? The heir to the Longfellow fortune.
Sure. Bye, Gerald.
Won't be far behind me. Probably lugging that ridiculous basket of lotus blooms as well.
I should have known. Scratch a guru and find a money-hungry shark every time. I peered out from under the table and checked out the disciples. There were easily 200 of them around now, and an excited buzz was building. I noticed a few faces I'd seen before. People from the financial pages and the media reports. On the strength of what I knew of them, Love was going to earn at least 250 million tonight. Maybe more. Then I remembered what they'd said about the dog. If I didn't get back into my own body soon, I was going to be elevated to a position I didn't want. Canine king of the Crystal Light Healing Movement. I was just about to slip off into the bushes and contact my tree of life when they grabbed me.
Here he is!
Major, O future animal deity, our master and mistress command us to prepare you for the transcendence.
That was it. They dragged me off to the altar. They bathed me in tea tree oil shampoo, put a garland of frangipanis on my head, and forced me to sit on a silk cushion to one side of the seats reserved for Mandy and Love. I was dog dressed up as God. The disciples lined up on either side of the grove. A silence fell. It was truly night. Tablas and sitars began to play. The full moon cracked the horizon.
We have arrived!
We abase ourselves at the feet of your heavenly majesties.
They all prostrated themselves on the ground. Mandy and Love strolled down the corridor of worship towards me. Love already with the gait of a god king. Mandy regal and perhaps drugged. The disciples washed Mandy and Love. Gerald happily threw lotus blooms on them. Then the chanting began.
Shri Love, Shri Dog, Shri Mandy, Shri Love, Shri Dog, Shri.
Hear us, Cosmos. Gaia, come close. The eclipse brings three new gods to your pantheon. Accept them.
The MC threw himself on the ground and holy rolled better than any Southern Baptist ever had. The moon was covered. I could barely see. And then it happened. I felt myself locked into my tree of life. I zoomed down into its roots, came face to face with myself, and made a painful leap back into my own body.
Who the hell are you, mister?
And where's Shri Dog gone?
It wasn't a good time to start arguing. I did what any sensible spiritual detective would have. I kowtowed and lied.
God is love, God is love, God is Mandy, God is Mandy. Redeem me. I offer all my worthless material possessions to you. I ascend with you as your servant.
Rise, pilgrim. Here is the first of the new Crystal Light Healing Missionaries, brought to us by the cosmos. He will take our message to England. Hooray!
Let his name be Major, after Shri Dog, whose body he emanated from.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle!
Sit at our right hand for the wedding ascendancy feast.
I accepted. Everything in this case was closing in on me. I was sitting on the edge of my chance to snare Mandy. Love was in my way. And Moon and Miller probably weren't going to give up on investigating murder by Crystal. The trail still led here. I turned to Love to begin a meaningful dinner party chat. I was interrupted by Gerald, leading the gathering in prayer.
Beloved, you are Shri Love and Shri Mandy, the living gods, manifest as all worlds and forms and beings.
He droned on for another 15 minutes. I bowed my head reverently and tuned off the mock sacred and into the grubby secular world. I felt sure I had the vibe right. Love was Brian Woodside. How he transformed himself from the reported suburban dag to this, I couldn't tell.
Let the feasting begin!
Feast table conversation was all I had left to solve the case. I decided to take up an old Ralph Bantam tactic. Smile when you ask a nasty question.
So, Mandy, happy with your marriage? A union made in heaven?
Of course, Major. But I'm curious about what happened to my dog. Surely you must know something.
Yes, after all, you emanated from him. What tricks have you been up to? And what is your name? Surely you have one.
Gary.
How plain, how suitably banal. You'll be so happy in drab suburban England, proclaiming crystal healing light to shopkeepers and bank clerks.
If he makes it their divine husband. I have my suspicions about our first new crystal light healing missionary, don't you?
Oh, many, many, many divine wife. The authorities mentioned a certain Gary this afternoon. Gary Mankovich, lurking around seeking a mortal named Mandy Martin. Heard of him?
Don't be shy, Mr. Dog. Have a slice of roasted aubergine and think about it.
Yes, eat, my friend. Gerald, tell us what happened this afternoon when you transported Major here.
He came willingly, Divine One. He ate some canapes. He rested.
But was there anything unusual?
He was very taken by the disciple we saw doing dog therapy. In fact, the disciple looked a lot like, well, him.
A tantric shaman. A practice that would be of great advantage to a so-called spiritual detective, Mr. Mankovich. Don't move, my friend. Just keep eating. There's no escape for you from in the midst of my devotees. Enjoy your dinner. It may be your last. Server, bring my missionary more nectar. He's so thirsty, he can't speak.
I took a long gulp of nectar. I needed it. I couldn't see any way out now. I should have remembered what my mum had said about treating people the way you want them to treat you. Nasty questions with a smile was a failed tactic. Love, Mandy, it's not like that. I don't want to fail. You know how hard it is, failure. Brian, Mandy. My head began to swim. The mention of Brian stopped them in their tracks. Their faces took on a deadly hue. All I knew was that as long as the party kept going, I was alive and had options. I gulped the cup down and yelled over the music. Dance to the music of the gods! They were all ready for it. Half the disciples got up and began boogieing, many of them with that particular dancing style associated with Goa. Recycled spiritual seekers. Me, I darted out onto the dance floor and began kicking up dust. Mandy and Brian's eyes never seemed to leave me, but there was little they could do in the middle of the orgy of ecstasy. A paradigm shift in the orgy's ambience made me focus on the edge of the glade. Gerald and Ian were running towards Major.
Shree Dog has returned.
Bring the blanket, the golden blanket.
Cast Shree Dog into the sky and welcome him to godhood.
Why don't you just say, toss him in a blanket? We'll toss him in a blanket.
It was beautiful, and I could only love them totally for giving me such an experience. I wanted to hug them all as they hurled that fun fella of a bow wow into the sky.
Oh, good shot, Miller. Stand back, you fools. Don't touch that dog's body.
I was rooted. I stared fixedly at Gerald. He was weeping and reaching towards Major.
Back off, you crazy bastard. Touch that thing in your dead meat.
Try to touch me and you'll get nowhere. I have transcended the fleshly existence. Tonight my worldly goods rest with my saviour.
Shut up, pencil neck. You and the turban, Sri Lavaka Brian Woodside. You're under arrest for murdering Marie Milan.
Gerald walked towards Love, a wilted lotus bloom clutched in his hand. He about faced a moon and flung his chest forward.
You can't hurt me, but I can destroy you with one all-knowing glance.
Unfortunately, he wasn't glancing behind him. Love drew a gun. Miller saw it. They both fired. The disciples ran, and so did I, straight at Mandy Martin. The gunshots had set my adrenaline off as surely as the starting gun does for a sprinter. I dragged Mandy through the melee and up the sandstone cliffs. Not through the hysterical crowd on the sandstone stairs. We went the tough, private way.
Let go of me, you creep.
Please. We were the first in the car park. Gerald's Range Rover was adorned with lotus blooms, doors open, keys dangling, waiting for the regal parade. First Marie, then Major, now Gerald. This is real, Mandy. Blood, death, corpses and cops. And love's guilty as hell. Let's get out of here.
And I'll drive. It's safer that way.
She drove all right. Her car, at 150 k's an hour, up a forestry trail. We'd left the quality four-wheel drive behind for love to follow us in. Slow down! Low-slung Chevys and stony forestry trails don't mix. Our axle was broken. We were bruised but very much alive. We plunged into the bush as the lights of the Range Rover swooped round the corner. It was dark and we thrashed through the forest for a while. Love followed us. When we paused, we could hear him bumping around on the fringe of the scrub, making heavy going of it. We did the sensible thing. We found a sacred concealed spot on a ley line and proceeded to keep Love at bay with psychic jamming. At least I did. Mandy just emanated a peculiar coldness. The night closed in around us and we huddled together like an Indian couple in a sweat lodge. I stroked her cheek gently and hoped that her chakras would open to me.
Oh, God, what am I going to do?
Love's got all your money.
Most of it.
Get back to next door. They want you, and they'll still pay.
Maybe I can.
Her eyes seemed to clear, and she took on the pose of a soap star. I still massaged her, but I knew in my heart that she was already rediscovering the love she knew best, the love of millions of adoring soap fans. A negative vibe crept up my spine. I suppressed it with an act of will. Then she started.
I hate you, Love! Love, I hate you!
It took Love a while, but eventually he honed in on Mandy's shouted abuse. He strode out of the bush covered in scratches and dirt, the luminous crystal held aloft.
Don't desert me now, divine wife. I love you. Together we can still reach Nirvana. I had to do it to Marie. She wanted to stop us.
Bullshit!
Mandy, we're gods. We're equals. We can live together in our own heaven and earth.
Lines, Love. Bad lines, just like your phony accent.
He stood like a crystal statue and slowly raised the gun. He pointed it at Mandy Martin's chest. I tried to conjure a field of protection.
I love you, Mandy.
He cocked the trigger and I squeezed all my being into stopping him. Love fell dead on the ground.
Took you long enough to scream. You're lucky Miller's a weekend paintball player.
By dawn, they'd carted Love's body away. No amount of crystal light healing was going to help him now. We gave statements and Moon and Miller seemed happy enough. In the end, I couldn't help myself. I asked about Miller's obvious distress.
Yeah, that mad dog bit him in the old fella. It's the first time I ever seen him cry.
Moon pulled out a rum bottle and took a ghastly swig on it to celebrate the end of another successful investigation. We declined the offer of a drink and took to the bush to hike back to Gary Gary. Moon and Miller could speak to the reptiles of the press down at the front gate and claim as much glory as they liked. Mandy, have you really been seeking enlightenment all this time?
No, not really. But Brian started this sex thing on me. It was what Marie told me about. A drug. He controlled me. I did all those terrible, stupid things to make him rich. He was bad, but he didn't murder Marie.
Who did?
Brian commanded it. Gerald did it.
Did you care?
I don't know. I haven't got any feelings now.
I backed off. I was pretty confused myself. We walked the rest of the way back to Gary Gary in silence. I gave Mandy a lift back into the City of Light and dropped her outside Max Marbles. I didn't exchange telephone numbers with her. She needed to get in contact with her own self, her own feelings, before she got in contact with a spiritual guy like me. I drove off to see Wallace and collect my fee and get some of that deep, peaceful, astral travelling sleep.